Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 100 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of just the perfect game for us to have our 100th episode for, an absolute Pazza Inter show. Inter Torino, which finishes 3-2 at the San Siro, goals from Thuram in the 25th, in the 35th, Zapata in the 36th, Thuram again in the 60th, Vlasic in the 86th, and it finishes 3-2 at the San Siro. So as always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Gianni, before we get into the game, maybe some quick thoughts on reaching 100 episodes here for Interviews.
You know, a lot of people said we wouldn't make it. There was doubters, haters.
There literally were doubters.
Big doubters out there. You know, Sharma challenged us to at least get to 100. What's up now, Tio? We did it. You should have been on here for episode 100, but it's okay. It's all right. But yeah, no, it's been a long, year and a half for us, right? To do 100 episodes in, I don't know, a little over 500 days, something like that. That's pretty impressive. And I don't think I could have asked for a better co-host for this journey, man. So I'm glad you answered the bell on that tweet that I put out. But man, yeah, this is exciting stuff. 100. I hope to keep doing this for as long as we can, to be honest, because I love this club, and to be able to share with the Inter community and Twitter community, X community, whatever you want to call it, it's exciting stuff, man. So yeah.
Listen, the players can use this episode in their fight to get, you know, a little bit less game time, less matches on the calendar. How did these guys hit 100 episodes already? But we've done it, and we really appreciate all you guys for listening. Again, like Johnny said, we just really enjoy doing this. So the fact that you guys even listen is just too cool for us. So appreciate all that. We will share our appreciation with you by reading, some of your tweets and also playing some of your sound here at the end of the episode. But why don't we try something a little bit different? Turn the page for a new era for Interviews Pod. Instead of going through all of the highlights individually, one by one, I wanted to challenge myself a little bit and see if I can do a recap of the game, try to make it as entertaining as possible, and do it all within 60 seconds. We're going to call this Rafa's 60-second recap.
All right. Okay, let's do it.
Ready for it?
I want to see what you could bring. All right. Should I put a timer on my phone and see if you could do it in 60?
Yeah, put the timer on your phone. I'm going to have the timer next here. All right, let me know when you're good.
And go.
Whistle blows at the San Siro, and just like your company's Zoom meetings, nothing happens in this one until 15 minutes in, when Samuele Ricci makes sure Sommer is still awake with a long shot that stings the Swiss keeper's gloves. It doesn't take the ref much longer to decide he wants to watch some TV, and wait, what's this? The most obvious red card you'll ever see that will still have Juventini crying Marotta League. Maripango studs up into Thuram, and Torino is down to 10 men. Within 10 minutes, it's Thuram with two jumps for two goals for a 2-0 lead, and if you're an Italian center back with the left foot, that means you probably got an assist here. And speaking of assists, Inter decides to give Torino a lifeline with short-term narcolepsy at the back as Zapata roofs one to close out a sometimes chaotic and sometimes downright boring first half. Bavard comes in for Bissek as Inzaghi shows off his favorite party trick by making the player on a yellow card disappear. The Z's continue, and I'm not talking about Zamorano being in the house, as the training session energy at the stadium continues with a slow start to the second half. 56 minutes in, Hakan tries to put a hole in the crossbar with a rocket that fizzes just too high, but no worries, the boys have woken up, and Thuram says, "Hey, remember me," as he pounces on a rebound to get the first hat trick in his Serie A career and tie Retegi for top of the goal charts. Dumfries and Taremi come into the game in the 68th, but nothing doing in this one until Acerbi pulls his best Elon Musk impression and sends one to the moon from 10 yards out First Zielinski, then DeVry round out the sub for Inzaghi, sending our best to Zapata on his injury. And just when you thought things couldn't get dumber at the back for Inter this year, we let a 10-man Torino score the second goal of the day as Vlasic slots away the penalty. The game wouldn't be complete without Inter missing an absolute sitter to kill off the game as Taremi can't convert the rebound. Interisti can't wait for this game to end, and the ref calls it 3 goals for Inter, 3 wins in a row, and 2 points off first place.
Well, not 60 seconds.
Damn it.
Not even close. That was a minute 42.
Was it?
Dude, yeah. I was like, do I cut him off? I was like, you know, he's on a roll. I'll let him keep going. But yeah, not 60 seconds, dude.
Okay. Well, there's learnings to be had.
I mean, at least we know you got the stamina, right?
All right. So Inter almost blows the game. I definitely blow the recap. But it's all
that
right.
That was pretty impressive. That was pretty impressive. I got to admit, some good one-liners for sure in there. So yeah, no, that's it, right? We can just end the episode now.
I think we are done. Yeah, this is part of the efficiency play. We're trying to get to 200 episodes as fast as possible.
200 episodes in 200 minutes. Let's go.
Yep. We're done here. But I mean, it was a pretty chaotic game. So I think it's fair that it went over the 1 minute. And I guess what I want to start with, what we should ask you first out the gate, this is 3 wins in a row. This is 3 wins in a row, but we did play 10 against 11 for the vast majority of the game. How did it end 3-2?
This is something we have to figure out what's going on with this team, because there is a severe lack of focus in games this season. And it's not just this one. It feels like the last few games, this has been a concerning trend. How do you give up? You should never give up 2 goals when you're up.
No.
A man for 75 minutes, essentially. Like, it just should never, ever, ever happen. You know, the first goal, it's a combination of Acerbi and Bisek making mistakes. You know, a poor header by Acerbi there that kind of is almost an assist, really, for Torino. And Bisek leaving Zapata and going to you know, attack the ball carrier. I could understand the thought process there. I'm not saying that was a boneheaded play entirely. However, he should have had the wherewithal to know to stick with Zapata, given that Acerbi was, you know, you could see he wasn't recovering yet after heading that ball. He kind of lost his balance. You should have just stuck with the man, especially someone as lethal as Zapata in front of goal. And that's just a real brain fart by a few guys there. The Hakan, you know, incident in the penalty box, eerily similar to what Dumfries did against Juventus with where they were awarded a penalty. So as soon as I saw it, I kind of knew it was going to be a penalty there.
Me too.
But these are just mental mistakes you cannot be making, especially when you're the defending champions and you're trying to stay in the race. Listen, we got the 3 points. I'm happy about that. I am not happy with the performance, though. I think that was a that might have been the worst performance we've had all season, in my opinion.
Mental or physical? With this one.
A little bit of both. I mean, guys are just not putting in the same efforts that they did last season. It's almost like we got the second star, we can coast now. You know, we're in there, everybody should bow down to us. That's not the case. No one is really afraid of you. And I'm not saying that like they shouldn't be, or you know, but it's like everybody knows, especially in Serie A, that we could take any team at any given moment, and you should not, you know, disregard, you know, a Torino who, you know, we're top of the league for a little bit. And play that lackadaisical. It's very, very concerning. And I hope that Inzaghi, with this break, is able to figure out some things and kind of re-motivate the group. And something I kind of wanted to ask you, but do you think, and listen, I know I'm a Barella fanboy, but do you think without him being there and having those little spats of anger, it's kind of like allowed the guys to be relaxed and that he's not just calling people out and kind of waking them up every now and then? Or is that just me? It could just be me.
I do think that there is some validity to that, because on the pitch, like, the hotheads are going to be Barella, Acerbi sometimes, Hakan, but it's going to be mostly Barella. But for me, it's not really him missing that should be the reason for this kind of performance. I do think that he does kick the team into another gear, but what I really think is the problem. Even though we looked like we were in quicksand today, it's 110% a mentality issue. Before the red card, it was the tempo of the game was very slow. Like we were just taking our time to get, which is, you know, it's fine to an extent, but you're in front of your home crowd. The ultras missing on the day, you definitely felt it. Like it had, that stadium had training session energy, which you never see. And it just felt like we were, let's try to stay in first gear for this game. The red card happens, two beautiful incidents to put us up front as far as like the deliveries to Thuram and the headers. But the rest of the game, like it really felt like we were just not concerned about losing our lead. So we weren't really pushing to extend it. That for me is a mentality issue. It's just like the guys, I don't know. It is something that we've seen from the defending champion every year for the last several years, where the next year the mentality is just a little bit different. There is a bit of a drop off. And I think you can make a case that Inter is experiencing that. The real question is, A, do we need a big game to kick us in the teeth, to win a big game, to get us playing our best? Or is this sort of what we're going to be dealing with all year? Which, if that's the case, we're not winning Scudetto. We're not going to win any sort of cups. So it's going to be a down year. But I don't know. What do you feel? Do you feel like the guys are gonna snap out of this? I think it's going to take a big game. I think it's going to take a big game for us to wake up.
But we've had big games. You know, like we had the game with Man City, which I thought was probably our best performance. I know it ended 0-0. But we woke up for that. And then we came out flat in the derby, kind of. You know, it was a very disappointing derby. We really could have ended Fonseca's job had we just shown up focused. Now, you could argue there was maybe fatigue as a factor with some of the key players there. All right, I'll give you that to an extent. But if you can't get up for a derby after winning six in a row, like it's almost like you took it for granted. It's like, you know, who cares? Let's throw them a bone kind of thing. And again, I'm not saying that was the actual mentality. It's just as a fan, that's what it looked like to me personally. I don't know, man. Like we're going to have Juve coming up. Arsenal's going to be a big game next month. I feel like that, you know, like I don't want to just look at the Champions League as the only thing that we're focused on. I really hope that we can get this, I don't know, under control, where every game should be looked at as a big game, especially for us. And I know I said I wanted to win the Champions League. I mean, I'm sorry, win the Scudetto again, and then, you know, Champions League be a secondary thing behind even the Club World Cup. It may seem like it's the focus the other way around, but I want us to be competitive in all three fronts. And I don't know if the rotational stuff is what's causing a lack of chemistry or what you want to call it, but I'm hoping that we can just get this figured out because the talent is there. And even though there's some guys who drive me crazy and you don't see the same level of consistency from them, there's still no excuse. On paper, we have a better roster than most of Serie A. So like, I just want us to be, you know, I don't know, showing up for all these matches.
You mentioned the talent. Like, arguably, this team is more talented this year than it was last year. And if you look at the actual game today itself or the previous games where you're giving up, you know, two goals to Udinese, where you're giving up two goals to Milan, where you're just like not looking your best, outside of the Milan game, which, you know, we did give up a lot there. It seems like where it's individual mistakes that are leading to these goals, individual mistakes or the team just turning off. So, you know, I would argue this is a better team than last year as far as the talent, but something is off a little as far as the mental is concerned, maybe as far as the tactics are concerned too. We do look a little stretched. Am I confident that we're going to turn around? I don't know. Look at the next six games. Roma, Juventus, and Arsenal in the next six games. We do have Venezia, Empoli, and Young Boys, so in between those games, you have a get-right game in between Roma and Juventus against Young Boys. You have two get-right games you know, against Empoli and Venezia. Empoli's been great this year, actually, before Arsenal. So, you know, what's the minimum points that we have to pick up here? at least 9 out of the young boys, Empoli and Venezia. And then for those 3 games against Roma, Juve, Arsenal, like, what's the minimum points pickup that you need from that?
Realistically, or what do I mean, I would, I don't know, 7 points?
Yep, I think so too.
Right? Like, I mean, 2 wins and a draw, I think, at the very least. That's what I think.
The game that you need the most, I believe, is the Juve game.
Agreed.
Yeah.
As much as I want the Arsenal game.
Right.
You need the Juve game.
Yeah.
Because a couple of things. One, their fans are acting like that this is the, you know, the greatest Juventus ever, and I think they need to be brought down a peg. I don't know. This team with Motta in charge, it doesn't look better to me than what I was seeing what he was doing with Bologna, with a stronger squad, money invested, all that stuff. And Juventini are acting like that this is a whole new look, how much better he is than Allegri. Allegri only got Timothy Weah last season. Like, yes, he's maybe playing a little bit prettier football, and guys are positive, awesome. But, like, he went 3 games without scoring a goal. Mm-hmm. With all that money spent. You have Coop Miners. You got Nico Gonzalez. You know, like, I don't know. I think that we need to establish that it's cool that you've come back, quote unquote, but we're still the ones to be chased.
Yeah. That's why it's the most important game. It's a head-to-head against a direct title contender. The Arsenal game in the Champions League, like, of course we want that. It's a lot more based on manufactured, like, Twitter beef between these two fan bases. If you look at, do we actually need that game to progress in the Champions League? No, we don't. Do we need to send a message against Juventus? If you lose that game against Juventus, like, no one, already people are shitting on your title defense, even though it's light years better than some of the others that we've seen. We're only 2 points behind first place. But you lose that Juve game, it changes the trajectory a little bit. You win it, it could change your whole season. It could turn your whole season around. So, yeah, I think 2 wins and a draw, you have to win the Roma game. You have to win the Roma game. So, yeah, let's see how this...
I don't know, man. I would rather draw the Roma game and win the Arsenal.
And win the Arsenal. Yep.
Like, I... For my own...
You would choose those 2 wins.
Mental health. My own mental... But yeah, my own mental health, we need to win the Arsenal game. Otherwise, I'll never be able to go back on Twitter. I may have to retire.
Yeah. We're going to be done after 103 episodes? I hope not. Hope not. But
well, no, the podcast will be fine. I'll just be off of Twitter.
All right, let's talk about a couple interesting things just coming out of this match. So first, any argument to be made that Maripán's red card shouldn't have been a red card?
Next. No, there's no argument to be made. Like, that's if anybody on our team did that to them, straight red. Like, you could put the bias, like, put your bias aside. That's a red card to anybody any day of the week. I don't care. You just can't do that. He could have ended his season. Like, imagine if he actually tore his Achilles or did something, like, broke his ankle, whatever it is. It's, I mean, no brainer.
I could be wrong, but that was, for me, the worst challenge I can remember in Serie A this season. So,
I'd have to look at everything else. I would.
It's the one that comes to mind.
I would tend to have to agree with you, though.
Yeah. All right, Thuram, 3 goals today. If you look at the kind of goals he scored, so that rebound, his 3rd goal was the tricky one. Was the one that, like, you know, you don't really write home about. But those first 2 show me a player who is really growing into the position. It's not just the headers, which were perfectly placed where they needed to go. Like, he's such a weapon in the air. If you look at all of his headed goals, they're all, like, fantastic. But it's the movement to get free of his defender. If you look at both of those both of those crosses, everyone knows Bastoni and Acerbi are putting those balls into the box. Everyone. The defense knows those balls are getting whipped in. So how does he get so free? It's a player who is really growing into the position. This now gives him 7 goals on the season, tied for the top of the charts here. What are we looking at from Thuram this season? We've seen him drop off a couple games, and then you see a game like this. Like, what's the ceiling? What's the expectation for this kid?
I don't know what the expectation is. I'm enjoying every minute of it. You know, I tweeted out just now that you know, hat trick from Thuram. Now that means he's the best player in Serie A. Is that right? IFTV.
That's what they say. Yeah.
You know, like all you have to do is like only goals really account for that. But it's awesome to see that he's got this finishing touch. It was something that we were hoping would grow from last season, and to have it now, especially given, I wish that it would happen with Thuram and Lautaro at the same time. But it's like
weird.
Lauti's scoring. Thuram isn't really scoring. Thuram is scoring. Lauti's not really offering much offensively right now. And hopefully he gets it figured out. You know, maybe we need Correa to do a barbecue or something to kind of, you know, motivate the guys a little asada. But I'm enjoying it. The only thing that I worry about, and I mean, I don't want to get into this, so I won't even say it. But I just hope that he keeps doing this at this pace. He seems to be having fun. You know, the guys are happy for him. It is great to see that, you know, like as Taremi said in the Champions League match, they are like a family, and you know, they celebrate everybody's victories, and that at least is great to see.
Yeah. Let's see. Like, hopefully he doesn't have Lauti syndrome where it's just really inconsistent and it's goals in bunches. But let's see. Bissek gets hauled off for Pavard right at the start of the first half. Any chance that it has more to do with the blunder on Torino's goal to close out the first half than it does with the yellow card?
Ooh.
Was it a lesson? Was it a punishment? Because typically on the yellow card, Inzaghi will sub you off maybe 55 minutes, not right at the start of the first half, at the start of the second half. I thought that was weird. Any chance it's a punishment here?
To me, and me saying that I want guys to be held accountable, I want to say yes. I hope that's the case. I don't know if that actually is. It may just have been, hey, I'm really not risking it with you. You seem to be a little careless, maybe.
Yep.
But let's you know what? I'm going to go out and say it. Like, yes, that's exactly it. Inzaghi's sending a message. Boom. Like, you're off, man. I can't have you doing stupid stuff that leads to goals. You need to be focused. If you want to be in the starting 11, get out of here.
Desperate for that to be the case. Genoa, you give away the penalty. Udinese, that Cabasella goal, that's on you. You were not playing your man tight. And today, you make a rash decision to go for the ball. You're a super athlete, which gives you the idea in your head that you can get to everything, but it isn't the case. A more experienced player maybe wouldn't do that. So yeah, and I was thinking during the first half, like, you know, you see some of the carrying that Bissek does. You see some of the, you know, pulling wide. You see some driving across the pitch all the way to the left-hand side of the field to combine with the guys over there. You see the offensive potential from this team when he's on the pitch, but we're also getting, like, what's it? You know how they have plus minus in basketball? What's this guy's plus minus? Like, he's contributing offensively.
That would be kind of interesting to see. Yeah, I would.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
I'm glad they don't do that, because I'm sure, you know, there'd be some Twitter jokester who would look at that as the end all be all statistic, but it would be interesting to see. More like hockey, you know, like how many goals are scored when you're on the pitch as opposed to, you know, how many goals your team scores, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty cool to kind of like judge. I don't know. Hey, maybe we could start an app right there, and we'll call it Mob Thought.
Mob Thought.
And see what happens.
Switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, you can't sue us for that. It's a different name, bro.
But we can't destroy him, because in arguably our biggest match of the season, Manchester City, he played super well. So,
and that's what's frustrating. You know, like I just don't get. I don't get it. I don't get how you could show up for those games and then you just, the mental lapses. It's very frustrating, man. It is.
yeah, you're locking up Jack Grealish, but somehow Duván Zapata gets behind you. It's
yeah, like
it is
yeah.
like
come on.
So in a big game, right center back, who's your starter?
You know, it's tough right now because I could think back to the goal scored by Milan on Pavard, who just didn't right. really time his challenge there. It's like, I don't know, man. I think honestly, it would really come down to me flipping a coin at that time, really, to make a decision. Because I don't think you're getting an advantage right now, one way or the other. Each has its strengths, and each can, you know, offer something offensively. Each can make a timely challenge, but also each has an error in his game, and it's really like, who do you think is going to show up on that day? I don't think there's any rhyme or reason. I think right now, I guess, if I had, you know, you put a gun to my head, I would say Bisek, only because of the pace that he's been able to show, where Pavard has allowed much slower guys beat him. So,
yeah I'm gonna stick with Pavard. I feel like I trust him at the back slightly. I think the defensive mistakes from him this year are an anomaly. I certainly hope so. Fingers crossed, knocking on wood. But let's see how that plays out. Only other incident to really talk about, as far as the game is concerned, is the penalty on Hakan there. I don't fault him for trying to go for the ball. I do think it was as soft a challenge as can be for a penalty. I guess I'd ask for the same penalty if it was against Inter, so I'm not going to bitch and complain here. So I'm not going to kill the player. I'm not going to kill the ref here. Just sort of like, all right, I guess so.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into these players and then we'll get to your questions here. Sommer in net. He gives up two goals here. You know, one's a penalty and one you can't really do anything about. You're one on one with Duván Zapata. He puts things away. Wasn't super involved in the buildup. So it's a really straight up average game for me, despite the two goals let in. I'll give him like a 5.5, 6.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think either of the goals are his fault. I feel like if he's a little bit taller, he makes the save on the penalty. But the Zapata goal, I don't think any goalkeeper is saving that. He literally just curls it top corner. Like, that's just, unless you're standing there already, you're not making that save. So I'm not going to fault him for that. Maybe if I was going to bring any blame on that, maybe it's like I wish he would have come out a little bit sooner, perhaps, really narrow down that angle. That's probably the only thing you can nitpick on that. But yeah, I 5.5, 6 is fair for me.
Moving on to the defense, Bastoni on the assists for tonight. Acerbi on the assists for tonight. Two beautiful deliveries into the box. The only thing that I'd really, I guess, call out here is more so Acerbi. I thought he lost a few duels and looked a little weak. Against Duván, a little bit shaky from him, but Bastoni had a good game for me. Pavard was good when he came in, like looked dangerous, was carrying the ball into the final third, tried to deliver some crosses, didn't really get beat at the back. So for me, I would more so highlight Acerbi being a little shaky.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of expected when you have a player that age in their back line and he's kind of has a little bit more responsibility with someone who is dangerous going forward, whether it's in the air or even beating you, you know, with his pace and strength. You hope he figures it out. It's kind of funny though, right? He allows a guy like Duván to beat him, but then he's able to pocket Haaland. It doesn't make sense to me, but
it's Inter-itis.
Yeah, it is.
It's like
you got to do something to drive me crazy, and congrats to that.
Yeah. The Vrij also came in, didn't really do much. Onto the wingbacks.
Didn't really notice him.
Yeah, same thing with the wingbacks. Darmian did, you know, what he did. Dumfries came in and was okay. DiMarco was okay today. 90 minutes for DiMarco right before you're sending him to international break. That's not
boom. Ideal. 180, 270. Keep it coming. Just add it up, baby.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, but nothing special to talk about from the wingback. Same thing with some of these midfielders here. Mkhitaryan, after a bounce back game against Red Star, was not as incisive. I guess that role goes to Fratesi to get on the end of things. And he did have a few moments where he got, you know, combined well with Thuram getting in the box, but he also seemed out of it today. You know, Hakan, I don't really know what to say about any of these midfielders that, you know, we should spend a little bit more time on.
I mean, I don't think so. You know, it's kind of the same thing with Mkhitaryan that's been a bother, and he continues to do the same mistakes and the same, you know, just poor passing and poor awareness in times. Fratesi had a few instances where it's like, I kind of wish you were a little bit better with the ball at your feet, but I do know what he brings to the squad. I'm not going to like nitpick on him either. And Hakan didn't seem as sharp for sure. You know, it felt like that there was a little bit of something missing with him. And I don't know if that's fatigue kind of catching up. It's kind of telling, though, that he continues to also play time and time again. And we're seeing that Inzaghi doesn't seem to have a lot of faith in Aslani. I just think that it's... You know, we're extremely limited in coverage, at least in certain parts of the midfield. And, yeah, you know, who knows? I mean, I know we think that we have other priorities, but I do think that your midfield is the engine for your team going forward. Yeah. If it were me and I had, let's say, $25 million to spend in the summer, I might be trying to focus on a guy like Samuel Adichie and trying to, obviously, you know, include players to kind of keep the cost down. But
yeah,
I did like what I saw from him. You know, it wasn't his best game by any means. He's had better games throughout the season,
he was down to 10 men for most of the game.
I did like what I did was seeing from him, and I was like, see, I feel like you would be good coverage without a doubt.
Yeah, no, I think it's if Hakan goes down, this team is the objectives change. If you're starting,
yeah,
Regista is Aslani. It's just the way of the situation. Zielinski came in the 77th minute. I love everything I see from him. It's not even that he was super influential today. It's just the way he looks when he's receiving the ball, with the ball at his feet, making runs. Like, he just looks... It looks very, very different to someone like Fratesi, who's more of a tractor. There's like an elegance to Zielinski's game. It's the drop of the shoulder. It's the cutback. The cutback for his strike on goal that Taremi messed up the rebound was perfect. There was a moment where the ball was coming into him and he did a drop of the shoulder and completely fooled his man, got dragged back for the foul. Like, there are elements to his game that are just so class that it's tough for Interisti like you and I to watch it for 15 minutes at a time. Like, it's like, fuck, I want to see more of that. And now we're getting into, this is the seventh match week of Serie A. We've had it, you know, a couple Champions League games. It's kind of like, all right, well, it's October now. Like, when are we going to start seeing more of this guy?
Yeah. It feels like the mood on the pitch changes when he's out there. And like you said, the drop of the shoulder, he always seems to have his head on a swivel, like looking like where am I going with this ball? He's thinking 2-3 steps ahead and wanting to be influential. Yeah. He didn't do anything that was like, oh my gosh, did you see that? Or, oh my gosh, right, how's he not? But like, it's the little things and the little nuances in his game that it's just a step above from Mkhitaryan. And I wish that we had like a serious reason as to why he's not playing more. You know, like, he comes on, instantly has a little bit of an impact within 15 minutes. Why wouldn't you want to see that for 65, 70 minutes? You know, I think that Mkhitaryan could, like, we talked about this already, but I think that he would be better coming off the bench and being able to do stuff in short spurts as opposed to being leaned on for large parts of the game. But,
I mean, most folks would probably tell you it's a balance issue, but alongside Barella and Hakan, there's so much quality and hard work in that midfield that let's say Zielinski isn't the most hardworking, which I wouldn't even start that dialogue. Because again, like if you watch those 70 minutes against Manchester City, like he busted his ass back and forth.
He didn't look like the same player that we would see at Napoli. And I don't know if that was because he had, you know, a poor relationship.
Different responsibilities.
And, you know, just was kind of fed up mentally, which I could see. You know, if you're checked out, you're not going to put the same effort, right? And it's the same with any person in any job. But I feel like now he seems to be playing with a purpose. I think he understands the importance of being like a two-way player. And Inzaghi is showing faith in sometimes, but I wish that he would have, you know, that faith in more. I don't know what's going to take for him. Maybe he has to score a banger for it to him to be unlocked as like, all right, now I can lean on you or something like that. But hopefully, with the schedule becoming a little bit more clustered, he'll be leaned on a little bit more here.
Yeah, I mean, let's see him get the reins against Roma or Young Boys, and you know, hopefully he can start one of these games, which I do think he will.
Let's just start calling that Swiss team. You know, saying Young Boys just sounds weird.
I know it does. It's every time I have to say it, I'm like, why be?
I don't need you know, Zielinski being found on a manifold or a manifest on Epstein Island or something.
None of that. All right, Lauti, we talked a lot about Thuram already. So Lauti and Taremi, you got to put that thing away. Really love the defensive effort. Like really, really love it. You're in the final third. You are a pressing monster. You've only got the one goal.
You're on fraud watch and Nemo's going to have to defend you in court.
It's from open play. Your one goal this year is on a penalty, right? It's from open play, and you got the easiest potential. Like what? Hold on. Let me see. Talk about Lauti for a second. What did you think about his game today?
Yeah, good pressing. Some decent link ups, but again, it just that finishing product is missing, and I don't know. Maybe I got to do something to, you know, get Agostina to relax you or something, man. Because he does seem like he's like, you know, when baseball players they're in a little bit of a slump, they're gripping the bat too tight, they're just swinging at everything, they're trying to make something happen.
Yeah,
it just feels like that he's going through the same thing. Like he's trying to make something happen, and he's not playing with the freedom that he had last year. And what I mean by that is like just like you said, not loose. Like he's just it just feels tense out there. And maybe this international break is coming up at the perfect time because he kind of needs a little bit of a refresh himself. So
I think with him, if he's not involved early on and doing well early on in the game, he almost like disappears. Like if they're not really looking for him early on in the game and he has like a bit of confidence, it feels like he just disappears. Which is not really what you need from your captain. So
no,
again, there's a lot of players here that we could be saying this about, but need improvement from Lauti. Thing on Taremi, he had an XG of 0.58 on that, which anything above 0.5 is like you got to put that away. So
you think we should bench him?
Yeah, join the bench with Miki Taremi. All right. That's it. Inzaghi, what do you give him for this this game?
I don't know, six maybe.
Six, yeah, that's really not like, much.
You're clearly not getting the guys to focus. You know, I need to see something. It's nice to see the passion on the sidelines and the you know the animations, but it's not getting through. So you got to change something up, and we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to some questions. So before we get to the voicemails, we'll go ahead and start with the Twitter at @M6Adam_. Our defense has been very poor this season. If we had the chance to sign one player in January, would you guys want a defender or another position? Also, thoughts on Fratesi dropping another stinker. Appreciate the content. What do you think?
This is a tough one. This is a tough one for me to answer because the logical side of me says, yes, we do need to add a defender and a solid one. I don't care what you offer going forward. Like someone who's just defensive, like a Bremer, right? Like, I mean, terrible news about his ACL. I would never wish that on anybody. But someone like that who is just solid at the back and let your other center backs be able to be as free and going forward as much as they want. Don't know if there's going to be anybody available in January. Probably not, if we're being honest.
Not of that
caliber.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess right now, given the struggles defensively, I would want to lean a defender. And then, you know, if secondary importance to me would probably be a midfielder, like a solid regista.
I am right there with you. Because if Tejan is coming back, he can play either wing back position. And if you want to keep him on the left, it kicks Carlos back to the backup left center back. You can start grooming Palacios for maybe a center back or whatever it might be. Like, you're all of a sudden
fine. Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I forgot Palacios was there.
Yeah, he is there. That is like, a body, I mean, on the team.
Do you think we see him this year at all?
Yeah, we're going to see him. We're definitely going to see him. It'll be a 5-minute cameo at the end of a game that we're winning by 3. Yeah.
I hate that you're right.
That's how it is.
That's how it is. That's where I'm at with that. I hate it.
So with that one returning player in Tejan, it definitely shifts things around as far as the defense and the wingbacks are concerned. So for me, like I said earlier, Hakan goes down, like, your season is definitively changed. I don't know that player is available for us in the January transfer window, but like, if you gave me the choice of like Biol or Bernabe in the January transfer window, I take Bernabe, you know, be able to give Hakan a bit of a rest.
We see, that's where we're different. You want Bernabe, and I think Ricci's, I don't think Bernabe is a regista.
I don't think Ricci is an option. I don't think Kaido is going to sell. This player is going for like 40, 45.
Okay. So why don't he come for 40? You know, listen, you allowed Juve to pay in installments. Why can't we do the same thing? You let your in-town rival get a little break on Bremer. You're able to, you know, pay here, a little bit there. You know, probably sent a few Fiats and a Jeep Grand Wagoneer to his house to kind of, you know, supplement the payments somehow. Why can't we have the same type of treatment? And on top of it, this is me as sporting director. I'll give you Aslani and your take of one of the Esposito brothers next summer.
Could be intriguing. But you'd have to pay something up front. So.
Of course. Yeah. You know, that's an oak tree. I see you there, lady. I see you there. You see what's missing. Open your wallet.
Let's see.
You got to invest to increase your value, right?
I just don't see it. I just don't even. I can't take it seriously. Especially,
I know it's not going to happen. I get
Man City, Milan, and Man City too are going to be involved. It's like
Milan's not a real problem. I'm not worried. Man City's getting Ricci though.
You think so? It'd be a I don't think that'd be a great move for him for his career. But let's see how that shakes out. All right, we set up this speak pipe. Voicemail box, you guys sent in.
Shout out Alessandro, this was such a cool idea. I haven't listened to these, but I thought this was such a cool thing to do for the 100th episode, man. Like, maybe we should do this like once a month kind of thing, where like,
oh, for sure, like, even like just Q&A, like, episode,
little Q&A's.
yeah I think it's I think it'd be really cool to have you guys get more involved. So yeah, we'll do this in the future. We've got 6 messages to get through. We'll try to play these on like 1.5 speed, see if it sounds okay. And let's get started.
No, not working.
Oh, you can't hear it?
No, can't.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
All right. Why don't you do it like how you do the videos? Like, share the, I mean, I guess you gotta share the page or something. Cause that's how we were able to hear the audio from the.
Hold on. Let me see. Is that what it is? First time doing this. It would be amazing if we didn't have any. issues. Screen, window, voice message, share. Oh, wait.
Dang, I'm not hearing it.
You got it?
No, I don't hear it.
You don't hear it? All right, so then we're going to have to play it through the phone here. Give me a sec.
All right. Yo, that's crazy. So I didn't realize like there was like audio lines on that screen you're on right now, and I thought there was like something wrong with my monitor.
With your, yeah.
Hold I was on. Like, wait a minute, what happened here?
But anyway, if there's more shit that you guys want us to do, like this, like we're happy to do it. We're happy to switch up the content a little bit. Thinking of like potentially setting up a Patreon too, so we can talk to you guys there. Let's see.
Okay. Hey guys, it's very pissed off Interfan here, aka Saul Goodman 69. No question today. Just wanted to say, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for all your hard work and your content. Since I started tuning into you guys last year, I know I can speak for many Inter fans on this side of the ocean. There isn't very much content that's out there that's covered for some of
the. Yo, go back to 1% one times.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate that.
Yeah.
What are we going to do here? We're going to change our feelings about Canadians now that we've got this.
I love Tajon, but I don't like Jonathan David, and that's never going to change. So you can come after us, man. I'll give you my address in Vegas. You can come out, fly out. We'll meet up in the streets, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
I appreciate the kind words, man. Like that's honestly, it does mean a lot. Like there's a lot of times where I'll speak for myself where I wonder, like, are we doing a good enough job? Are we putting out a good enough product at times? You know, like this club means so much. Well, definitely to us, but for me specifically, like I want to do it justice. I want to, like, I know there's times where I'm tired. I know there's times where I'm frustrated with whatever may be going on in my personal life, and I may let that bleed into this, but to hear that, man, it definitely is like reaffirming that, hey, like we're doing this well, and that we are doing a good product and really, you know, got people who enjoy what we do. And even if they don't agree, like he said, like we're all not going to agree with everything. There's times where our friend Tony happen. Will tweet. Yeah. And he'll tweet stuff and I'm like, nope, don't agree with that. But you know what? Like we could also have like mature conversations around that and then, you know, share why we disagree and whatnot. And I think that's the beauty of it. Like, you know, and that's what makes this team so amazing and frustrating at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Of all the teams in world football, this is one that will have people disagreeing about it. There's always controversy. There's always something going wrong. So, it's always good to get it off our chest and talk about it. All right, John's up next.
Hi, everyone. This is John, John_FC66 on Twitter. And I just want to say that I love the Injured Views podcast. Thanks to Gianni and Alessandro. You guys are so awesome. It's such an awesome pod. I love the banter that you guys have and the awesome guests that you bring on the pod. And also, thanks again for the card giveaways and the interviews jersey, which is awesome. And I'm wearing right now. And I hope that there's more merch in the future. And I can't believe it's the 100th episode already. And I can't wait for the next 100 episodes. As always, Forza Inter.
Forza Inter. Good sign off there. Johnny, more merch coming? What's the, what do you think?
I guess we got to figure out. I mean, listen. The Capitoto shirt is still available if you're interested. You know, I don't know. I love that design. You know, Interclub Boston, shout out them. We're actually going to try to get more stuff involved with them, whether it's, you know, even some headers and stuff and for the YouTube channel, and hopefully, you know, maybe some more other designs for merch. Maybe we'll put out a poll and see what people want, you know, what they would want on like a t-shirt or something. I don't know if we'll do another jersey after.
Yeah, the last the one. Jerseys are tough, but man, the I don't jerseys know. Are like, tough, what do you think man. About hats too?
Hats. I would only want to do it if it's the 47 brand. Like if there was a way to like, for, like I'm wearing a 47 brand. Oh, hold on. Right now, 47. It's the they make the best hats in my opinion. So if there's a way, and you know what bothers me? I actually saw they have an Arsenal hat that is sick. They got a Liverpool man. Like I know the EPL is the EPL. I get it. But we got to find a way to get them to make an Inter hat. Like I want like a throwback, like 90s design kind of Inter hat. Not like the maybe the crest too. Actually, that would be pretty sick. But
I haven't seen yeah. anything like that. So I think that like yeah, we'll try to put out stuff.
We'll try.
That
yeah,
is
we'll try to see.
Interesting and new.
Let's put a poll up though and see what people yeah. are interested in.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, appreciate the kind words again, John. I do enjoy the banner with Alessandro. I think that it's a lot of fun. It makes it easy. Especially when you're able to bounce off of one another and kind of play off one another very well. I, you know, it's different. You know, I've been on other podcasts and talking, and I feel like sometimes I have to like hold back who I am because I don't know how it's going to play off with them kind of thing. So, yeah, no, I love being able to do this. And listen, we do this so that you guys have something to be able to listen to and vent with or have an outlet with for Inter, because there's times where, yeah, this club's infuriating. There's times when this club gets you to the highest of highs, and we want to be able to share that with you guys. So thank you again for listening, man.
All right, next up, Otlo.
Gentlemen, just wanted to pass on my sincerest congratulations on seeing you reach 100 episodes for the Interviews podcast. I'm a English speaking South African. It really does go a long way hearing two people really talk about our club at length with so much care, love, and dedication. And yeah, just wishing you all the best, wishing you 1,000 more episodes of success, and wishing you as much of a global reach as possible. Just a quick discussion on the club and on the team. Of course, it's a few hours before we kick off against Torino at the San Siro, Saturday evening kickoff. And yeah, I think we are rounding into form. The two wins against Udinese and Red Star have gone a long way, you know, in allaying some of the discomfort we felt at the beginning of the season, especially in the league. Draws against Monza, Genoa, and of course the Derby della Madonnina loss as well. But at the same time, you know, the team is rounding into form. We're scoring goals again. Strikers are scoring, which really helps. And yeah, I think we can continue to be quite confident about our hopes in the Campionato as well. The hope, of course, is that we can successively defend our Scudetto and, of course, make solid splash on the Champions League, get as far as possible, hopefully win the damn thing, but of course, you know, support the boys until the end. Forza Inter, congratulations again, and yeah, take care.
Thank you, Otlo. Wow, Interviews goes international. We got listeners on different continents. Pretty crazy. Yeah, this voicemail so came cool. in a little bit before the Torino game. Obviously, Otlo is talking about, you know, being encouraged by the form and rounding back into the form. And then, of course, Inter drops a game that has you thinking the other
typical,
way. So.
Typical Inter, yeah.
Typical Inter. But really cool to know you guys are listening all over the world. It means a lot. It means a lot. All right, next up, Sharma.
Yo guys, I'm actually doing this because I want to see how this works. I might copy it for my channel. But anyway, yeah, continue doing your thing. I just wanted to ask you guys about the Bremer injury, ACL meniscus, season over. Does that mean Juventus' title charge is over? Or did you even think you had a title charge? Cheers, guys.
Thank you, Sharma.
First of all, how dare you come on an Inter podcast and ask a Juve question? So what was that? So I didn't really think that
it's
they were going to be.
It's a good question.
It is a good question. I didn't really think that they were going to be a title threat. I do think that losing Bremer for the year is the end of it. To be honest, he's the backbone, really. You know, like of that defense. So I don't see anyone stepping in and having the same type of defensive impact. Like you're basically going from Bremer to Gatti, right?
Gatti, or you're slotting Cabal in. I mean, it's very much in line with what we're talking about Hakan. Like, if you lose that player, the objectives change. It's the same thing with Bremer. I'm not saying they can't do it, but it does change your level of confidence for sure. But it's also something like I have to say this very, very loud and clear. If you're rooting for injuries from our rivals, like that's not cool. I did not like seeing. No, but I mean, like, you know, there are definitely maybe more the Italian side of calcio Twitter is cool with doing shit like that. But
they're
a different level. But you hate to see it. Like, even as an Interista, I don't want to see things like that. But
especially with a player of that talent, like that's not good for the league. Like, yeah, like selfishly, it's good for us. Like, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it doesn't help us. But I'm also not going to be like celebrating it and like, oh, thank goodness he got hurt, like kind of thing. You know, like it's rough, man. Like that guy is so strong defensively and so sound. Now, I mean, I'm always rooting for him to fall flat on his face against us. But yeah, I would never root for an injury.
All right, on to the next one, Mr. Alpha Bravo.
Alessandro, Gianni, congratulations on reaching on this incredible milestone on your 100th episode. I know this comes during an important time of change in both of your lives, and I wish you nothing but the best. Personally, I've experienced many, many changes over the past 15 years. Whether we're winning or losing, it is always there for us. And I'm truly grateful for your show, as it helped me connect with the Inter online community. We have a fan in me, and as we say in the Dominican Republic, then I leave you guys with a question. What's your guys' favorite goal for Inter ever? My personal one is my card in April of 2010 against Juve after a Snyder set piece, the ball bouncing, and that, you know, you guys saw it. If it reminded you, or there's any current player that gives you that sort of vibe, link that to it.
Thank you, brother. That was an awesome one. This podcast has definitely helped me connect with the community. I mean, I was, before we started this, Johnny, I was more like, let's call it what it is, like a lurker. Like I wasn't tweeting at anyone or anything like that, but I was looking and following and seeing what everyone was saying. Never really wanted to get like involved, mostly because I have a really bad temper and I didn't want to to lose my shit on social media. But since this has started up, like I 100% agree about the connection to the Twitter community. Obviously you've been involved in it a lot longer than I have, but it really does, like, you know, I know we've got friends for life in a lot of these people, so it's been a really cool part of it for me too, Alpha.
Yeah, man. It's funny. I started, I don't know, probably back in when COVID really took off in 2020, being more involved on Twitter and kind of venting and not being afraid to run my mouth at anybody on Twitter back then. So started following Nima and kind of grew from there, and just I guess I wouldn't say lurking, I was definitely more vocal in the Inter community, but had no problem speaking my mind and sharing my thoughts, and was doing it for a while on Twitter Spaces, and I finally got to a point where it's like, yeah, I want to be able to talk about this in a place where I don't get as worked up or don't get as tilted and stuff, and just, you know, turns into a streaming match as it can do on Twitter Spaces. But I love this community. Inter has always been a constant in my life. Just thinking about the ups and downs of my life, and I'm not going to get into the entire weeds of things that was going on in my personal life, but Inter was always a kind of a bright light. No, even when we were in the banter era, like it was something where I was able to get in and escape. And yeah, like we may have lost a lot of games back then, and I may have gotten frustrated with the club, but it was a healthy outlet for me for sure. I'm very thankful that my father got me to fall in love with this club, and yeah, I've been a fan now for, I don't know, 23 years, I guess, and it's never a dull moment at the very least. So,
favorite goal.
You go first.
I have two. It's the Recoba finisher in Sampdoria, and then the Adriano beast mode against Udinese, where bodies are just bouncing off of him.
Was that Udinese or was that Parma?
I'm pretty sure it was Udinese.
The one where he takes it up at like midfield and dribbles down. It's
Udinese.
Okay.
Yeah. But literally just bodies bouncing off of him. He takes it up. I mean, we don't see that anymore, like from anyone. So yeah, that's got to be up there. What about you?
The Recoba one against Sampdoria at the San Siro is a big one for me. And that's a big one on a personal level, because that was on my Nono's birthday after he had passed away. So like that game is always going to mean a lot to me. I remember coming down. It was an early game. I come downstairs from my room. My dad is pissed. He's like, he actually threw the TV remote. He was so mad. We were down 2-0 to them. And as soon as I came down, that's when the miracle happened. You know, we scored 3 goals from the 86th minute on, which is insane. Insane finish, insane comeback. I remember Mancini turning to the fans and yelling at them because they must have been saying something to him. So
getting held back by, I forget who it was, but it's Orealli.
It might have been Orealli, yeah.
Yeah.
But that game is definitely up there. And another one for me that always stands out, and it's because he's my favorite player, I think, that I've ever seen play for Inter, but it's Wesley Schneider against Siena. He scored 2 free kick bangers. The second one, we were losing at that point, and it was to equalize it at 2-2, and it had to be 35 yards out, and it was a low-driven shot that just got under the wall. Actually, it might have gone around the wall. I got to remember it now. I think it was around the wall, actually. Hit the post and in. I mean, and you, if you go look at that highlight, please look it up. It was the year we won the treble. Look up that. Look at his eyes and the way he is so focused. Like, he knew exactly where he was putting that. Insane moment. Insane. And, I mean, Walter Samuel ended up scoring the winner. Crazy. Mourinho throws him up there as a striker, and he puts in the winner to win that game. Actually, it might have been the 3-3, and then that was the fourth one. But anyway, those are probably my two favorite. And if I would probably lean that I go about one only because of the meeting, the, you know, personally with my Nono. Yeah. Yeah,
and the Hakan goal that was just scored in the Champions League recently was the first free kick goal in Europe for Inter since Schneider.
That's
so
insane.
All comes back around. All
that's insane. Back around. Only because Eriksen didn't get a chance. That's what I'll blame.
Right. Right. All right. Last one here from Intertwined.
Hey, congratulations, Rafa and Gianni. Interviews podcast on your 100th episode. I have been a listener from the very beginning and really enjoy your podcast. It's got a unique perspective. It feels more like a podcast from a fan's perspective, and I tend to agree with a lot of things that you guys share. A lot of things you guys are excited about, and things, frustrations that we all go through as Interisti. But it's wonderful to have a podcast from a fan's view, and here's to 100 more episodes. Great job, guys.
Here's to 100 more episodes. Couldn't have said it better myself. We very much know that we're coming from the fan perspective. It's what allows us to get bothered about things that, you know, I guess people in the club wouldn't get bothered by, right? It's just part of being a fan. So we don't claim to be anything more than two guys who grew up with Inter in their families that have it in their blood, that love this game, that love this club, and just have some shit to get off their chest from time to time. So hopefully that's what, I guess, you know, that's what makes it a fun listen for you guys. And it's what makes it fun for us to do for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, appreciate the words, man. It does mean a lot that you guys, you've been listening from the beginning. Having to listen to us 100 times, it can't be easy, you know? So
no, it wasn't even easy to do, so.
No, it wasn't. And I try to listen to every episode, even the ones that I'm not on, just because, you know, I like to hear the different perspectives. There isn't another podcast really out there. So, you know, it's definitely very humbling, you know, that we do have, you know, we see the numbers of how many people are listening, and it's not something overwhelming, but it's still people who are listening, you know? So it's like, yeah. I love it. I love being able to see that, you know, people are consistent. And the numbers of subscribers match the number of listeners. So it's like everyone who is listening. So that's great, man. I mean, I'm so thankful for this opportunity to be able to share this fan perspective for sure. Like Alessandro said, we're not experts by any means. We're just passionate fans who have this opportunity to be able to have this outlet. And I am extremely thankful for this. And like you said, hopefully we can do 100 more, 200 more, 300 more. You know, maybe I'll be like LeBron and say, not five, not six, not seven. You know, just keep going. But yeah.
Not experts, except if you're scouting Croatian talent to come to eat there. In that That's case, it. We are the podcast.
We are the
Pay
experts.
Pay attention.
Yeah. I'm actually going to change my last name legally to Paternovic. I am like now Italian Croatian.
Yeah. Italo Croat. I like the look of it.
It's a great mix.
Yeah, and you know, we love doing this. We know that it's been a pretty simple platform. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You know, now we're kickstarting the YouTube. The episodes are starting to go up there. You know, we're gonna try to improve that experience for you guys. Try to work on, you know, different things to be bringing you, maybe being more active on Twitter, stuff like that. So we, again, enjoy doing this. And if there are things that you guys want us to do, tweet us, DM us. We all have our DMs open, the Interviews podcast account, both, you know, our personal accounts. Like, reach out to us and we'll take anything under consideration. Obviously, we both, you know, have full-time lives outside of this, but this is it's fun for us and we want to continue to grow it. So like you guys have said, here's to 100 more. All right, in the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.